Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 26. I haven't been in the hospital since before Frankie died. First minute in, and already I don't like it. There's a guy at a big desk, and I go up to him. Where's Gamaliel? He looks at me like I'm an idiot. I said, "Yes, sir, I heard you," he says. "Name?" "Gamaliel Everett." "Are you a relative?" I shake my head. "Neighbor." Now it's his turn to shake his head. "I'm sorry, Mr. My name's Boone. Why are you sorry?" "Only relatives allowed in ICU. You can go into the waiting area and check with his family there if you like." I take a deep breath. "You don't understand. I'm like family to him. He's my neighbor." He's saying no before I get all the words out, and that really pisses me off. I take two steps back, wondering if I can clear the desk and land right in his lap. The look in his eyes is almost funny. It's like he knows what I'm thinking about doing. He pushes the chair back and stands up. "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave." He makes some kind of motion with his hand, and I see movement in the corner of my eye. I turn my head just enough to see the policeman walking toward us, and I decide not to jump this guy, even though he deserves it. I don't want any trouble here. If you'll just tell me where the waiting room is, I'll get out of your way." "Well," he says slowly. The policeman standing beside me now, I look over and smile at him. He doesn't smile back. "Please, sir, he means an awful lot to me. I can talk to Carrie. That's his daughter. I bet she's up there right now." He looks down at the clipboard that's sitting on his desk. Then he nods at the policeman. "Carrie is listed here as Mr. Everett's daughter." The policeman puts a hand on my shoulder, and I try not to react. "Why don't I walk with you? I'll show you where the room is." I'd appreciate that, sir. I really would." He stays close the whole way, but he doesn't put his hand on me again. When we get to the room, Carrie and her husband are both sitting next to the window. Carrie gets up as soon as she sees me. Jerry glances at me and goes back to his magazine. She comes over to me and gives me a hug. The policeman shrugs and walks off. Thank you, Boone. Thank you so much for what you did," she says, and her voice is unsteady. I didn't really do anything, ma'am," I say. "I'm pretty uncomfortable with this whole thing." "Nonsense," she says firmly. "Who knows how long he would have been out there on the ground if you hadn't come to check on him?" "I guess so," I say, hoping she'll stop this soon. "How is the old man doing?" Jerry looks up from his magazine. "A little respect there, boy." Carrie ignores him. "He's still asleep. They want him to get as much rest as he can. They say he was dehydrated and his blood alcohol was very high." She looks at me. "You know anything about that, Boone?" "You know I can't buy anything. You said so yourself," I answer, looking around the room. No store would sell me anything. I can feel her eyes on me. When can I go in and see him? I really want us to talk about something else. You know, anything else. She looks at me for another second and decides to drop it. I don't know, Boone. They won't even let me in for more than a minute or two. Jerry can't even go in with me, so I'm thinking it'll be a while. I want you to look after the place while he's in here, okay? Just go by every day or so. Make sure the place is still locked up, you know, like that. She looks and sounds worried. Sure, I say. I'll be glad to. How was he the last time you saw him? Good. He was good. When was that? Do you remember which day it was? 2 days ago, I think. Yeah, it was early afternoon 2 days ago. I just stayed for a little while. And everything's okay? Pop was all right when you left? Yeah, fine. Just like usual. Not like he was a week or so ago, I think to myself, but she didn't ask about that. This whole conversation is starting to bother me. I guess she must have sensed something. Boone, are you sure everything's okay with Pop? Sometimes he doesn't tell me stuff, and I'm counting on you to let me know what's going on with him. Everything's fine. Like I said, it was early afternoon a couple of days ago. We sat and talked for a while. Nothing going on. Okay. I can tell she doesn't believe me. Now I just want to leave. I'm coming back tomorrow to check on him, okay? Carrie nods. I can see she's worried about the old man. Truth is, so am I. When I get home, I stand in the kitchen for a second and then pour a good drink of the triple filtered shine. No S&S this time. No ice. Just the pure stuff. Take it with me into the living room, turn around once real slow, then head out into the yard. It's a little cold, but I make the trip up to the pool anyway, sit on my rock, and sip it slow and think about Gamaliel. I got a bad feeling about this. When I get back to the house, I'm not inside for more than a minute when the phone rings. I pick it up, expecting it to be Carrie giving me bad news from the hospital, but it's not. Hello? Is this Boone? Yeah, who's this? This is your Aunt Claire. How are you, Boone? What I want to do is throw the phone. She hadn't called me in years. And since she took Mama and Hannah in, I haven't heard a word from her about how are you, come see us, need a place to stay, kiss my ass, anything. I just stand there with a phone to my ear, trying not to scream at her and smash the phone. Boone, are you there? Have you seen your mother? She left to go shopping with Jake, that guy she took up with, and that's been 3 days, and we haven't seen her or heard from her. We're getting worried, and I don't know what to tell Hannah. Why are you calling me? Don't take that tone with me, young man. I'm trying to help here. She gets that voice that grown-ups get when kids ask questions they're not supposed to ask. Well, Claire, I'm a grown-up now, so get over it. Haven't heard from her or you or anybody since she ran off to your place. Silence. I gotta go. Say hi to Hannah for me. And I hang up the phone. Damn bitch. I'm so mad I'm trembling, looking for somebody to hit or something to break. I almost wish those guys had come back. Takes me a good half hour and another glass of shine, the regular stuff, to calm down. By that time, all I want to do is eat a bite of something and go to bed. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.